Coming to you live from the Soup Studios in beautiful downtown Metrodelphia, it's time once again for another adventure of that Crime Buster Deluxe, that Houdini of whodunits, Jack McCoy Private Eye. Tonight's episode, Puss in Boots Are Made for Walkin'.
In your travels, you may come across someone who would describe themselves as a dog person. Others are self-described cat people. I have even come across the occasional people person. It's an interesting thing when you think about it. People describe themselves in terms of the things they like. By this logic, I might describe myself as a money person. But you could easily make the argument to say, how would I know? My point is, people are weird about animals. We have animal shelters to bring in cats and dogs from the cold and unfeeling natural world. Raccoons and squirrels can go pound sand. Doves are a sign of peace and joy, while pigeons, which I understand are biologically the same thing, are rats with wings. Rabbits may be pets or may be wild animals, depending on the context. It's all extremely convoluted. My personal mantra for dealing with animals is, live and let live, until such time as it bothers me or I become hungry. A spider in the corner of the room, whatever, no skin off my nose. A spider I notice in my shower, that is a dead spider who deserves the fate for being a peeping Tom. If I see a pig on a leash, then I assume someone has an emotional attachment to that pig. If I see the remains of a pig in a grocery store, I assume I will have a good breakfast. I'm not saying it's the most morally defensible way to look at animals, but at least I am consistent. The trouble I run into is that not everyone shares my outlook on the animal kingdom. And when the person who looks at animals differently is sitting in the chair for prospective clients, well, I occasionally wish evolution had granted me some of the abilities of other species, such as a foot, which cannot possibly reach all the way into my mouth. I apologize, Mr. and Mrs. Kensington. It was not my intention to offend you.
I rather doubt that, Mr. McCoy.
Well, that's an argument in my favor, if you think about it. If it's my intention to offend someone, they rarely have any doubts.
Is that supposed to be helping?
Look, this was at most a crime of ignorance. I am not a major connoisseur of cat shows, and I simply was unfamiliar with this particular breed.
So you assumed Fifi was a rodent?
I did say possum, which you'll find is a marsupial.
Is that supposed to be helping?
We may safely assume that the species of the animal in question...
Fifi.
That the name and species of Fifi are no longer in question. I have apologized for my error, and further discussion along these lines does not seem productive. Now that the taxonomy portion of this conversation is done...
Now you're talking about stuffing her.
That's taxidermy. And before this goes any further off the rails, what do you want? So far, you came into my office and showed me your cat. I assumed that this was not the end goal of this conversation.
I'm not sure you're the right man for the job.
Well, at least we have established that there is, in fact, a job. I'm sorry you're unsure if I'm the right man for it, but I can't comment one way or the other without knowing what the job is.
The job requires dealing with cats. I think we've established you may not be qualified.
We've established I'm not qualified at identifying exotic breeds of cats as cats. Is that the job?
Well, no, but...
Then please either tell me what the job is, if you would like me to consider it, or if you would prefer, go away and don't let the door hit you on the way out. The choice is yours.
This is hardly a way to treat your clients.
You're not my clients. At the moment, you're two people who are wasting my time. I'm going to make this very simple. If the next words out of your mouth are not an explanation of why you came into my office and what you want, then you may assume I am declining your offer or that you are declining to hire me, whichever will get you out of my office faster. You may then feel free to find another private detective and waste even more time.
There are two parts to this job, Mr. McCoy. The first one involves finding a missing cat. You see, Fifi is in heat.
Allow me to thank you again for bringing her here. Continue.
Fifi is a rare breed called the Vermont Naked Tail. There's only a few of them in the world. So given Fifi's condition, we're naturally looking for a male naked tail too.
I will knock $10 off your fees if you don't complete that sentence. I get the general idea. Did you locate a suitable candidate?
Absolutely. There is a breeder named Donald Campbell who owns a champion. Pepe has won Best in Show dozens of times over the past few years. Donald drove into the city and dropped Pepe off for a few days so he and Fifi could get used to each other.
We shut the two of them alone in the spare bedroom for a few hours, since standing there watching the proceedings felt...
Another sentence which does not need to be completed.
When we opened the door to check on them, Pepe was gone.
Gone? Just so I'm clear, has this little job graduated to a locked room mystery?
Possibly not. We had a window open and the screen was broken through. It's possible Pepe muscled his way out, but that does seem excessive for a cat of his size.
It does seem to be the edge of Occam's razor. Why does it sound like you don't think that's what happened?
There is another family in the city with a Vermont naked tail, and they knew Mr. Campbell was bringing Pepe to visit us.
Suspected catnapping? That seems astonishingly unlikely.
Not necessarily. Their cat, Shishi, is also in heat, and Mr. Campbell is driving back tomorrow to bring Pepe to them. Having Pepe around for an extra day increases their odds of a successful pairing.
But, more to the point, if Pepe isn't here when Mr. Campbell returns, we'll need to pay damages for a lost cat. It was a clause in the agreement we signed.
You signed a formal contract to get your cat pregnant with some designer kittens?
It's a standard practice.
We have different definitions of standard, but go on.
Pepe is a very valuable animal, Mr. McCoy. It makes perfect sense that Mr. Campbell wants to protect his investment. Unfortunately, if we need to pay Mr. Campbell for his missing cat, there is only one way we can possibly raise those kinds of funds. And that is by selling Fifi.
And may I assume Gigi's owners are among the only people who might be interested in such a sale?
And they could name whatever price they liked, as long as it was most of the way towards paying for Pepe.
All right. It's still a bit of a stretch as far as I can tell, but I can work on looking for Pepe. And I'll make sure to check out this other couple. Their names?
Georgia and Francis Hamilton, and that is the first part of the job, yes.
And what is the other part? He asked while dreading where this was going.
Well, if there was an attempt to steal Pepe, we can't be completely certain that Fifi won't also be targeted. So we will need someone to keep her safe and...
No pets!
Oh, boy.
What the...
None! Nobody in this building is allowed to have any pets.
Be with you in a minute, Ethel. Mr. and Mrs. Kensington, please allow me to introduce the crazy lady you see before you. This is my landlady, who is probably in a cranky mood because she realizes she's going to have to pay to replace the door she's just kicked open. She's been listening at the door for an extended period, and the idea of me taking care of Fifi is slightly repulsive to her.
Do I need to say no pets again, but louder?
I honestly can't think of a time in my life when I wanted you to say a thing one time, much less twice. I have not forgotten your long-standing policy regarding the presence of non-human animals in the building. Mr. and Mrs. Kensington, I'm afraid I am unable to assist you with this part of the contract. You'll have to make that part of your payment to someone else.
Yeah, that's right. Wait. Say that again.
Clearly, as I am only one person, I cannot both investigate Pepe's disappearance and watch over your cat. I would have to subcontract that part of the equation out. And given the main function here is the security of the animal, that won't come cheap. Say, $100 a night or so for a guarantee of the animal's safety? Now, if only I were able to suggest someone who might be able to perform such a function.
$100 a night?
On top of my regular fees, which will be used to pay this month's rent. Correct.
Oh, come on over here, little Fifi. Auntie Ethel has a nice warm spot by the radiator where you can be all comfy and cozy.
I hate to set this precedent, but I understand where Ethel is coming from. The whole no pets policy started when one tenant's cat got into the wrong apartment and ate a rare tropical fish. Of course, to do so, the cat had to first knock over the aquarium the fish was in, and to be fair, flood insurance isn't something people on the sixth floor usually feel they need to splurge on. With Fifi stashed in a location where I could be sure she wouldn't get under my skin, I began my search for Pepe, who might have been at the house of Gigi. I'll be honest, I had been unaware of the federal law that cats need to have names consisting of repeated syllables, but I guess it just didn't make it into the papers. I was still unconvinced that Georgia and Francis Hamilton were in any way responsible for the disappearance of Pepe, but it was at least plausible. The problem was that if Pepe was in their house, there was next to no way to find out. Looking in windows, breaking and entering, and setting a small fire to get them and their pets out of the house are all considered crimes for some reason. It's all very inconvenient if you happen to be a private detective. Now, there are a lot of ways to get this sort of thing done if you have the time to do them properly. With Pepe's owner returning to collect him shortly, I did not have that kind of time. What I did have was access to a shortcut. They say time is money, and you hardly ever hear of it the other way around. But money can buy you time in a lot of cases. Now you might be saying to yourself, Jack, you're a nice guy and all, but money is one thing you don't have. You'd be right about that, of course, but let me remind you of my fee schedule. I get paid $75 a day plus expenses. Expenses is a pretty broad category, and I was about to make it even broader.
Hello?
Good afternoon. I'm Jack McCoy, Private Eye, and this is Officer Thompson.
Hey.
She's here to confirm that everything I'm about to say is on the up and up.
I'm mostly here because I owe him a favor. And while this is positively weird, it's an easy way to pay off the favor.
Yeah, they didn't need to know that part. Jeez, this is why I usually work with Sergeant O'Hanlon.
I told you, he's out with a sore throat.
Francis, hon? The police are here. I mean, sort of.
What?
Can you just come here?
What's this all about?
Let me start over because it's very important that there is no confusion. I am a private investigator, and this is Officer Thompson. Here is a badge number if you care to call down to the station and confirm her identity, which I encourage you to do. She's just here to establish that everything I'm doing is above board.
You know, for you.
And Snark. She's also here to provide Snark.
Can you explain anything?
I will do my best. I have been hired by Mr. and Mrs. Kensington, whom I believe you know through cat breeding circles. A cat has gone missing, and they believe there is a non-zero chance that you have something to do with that.
Excuse me? How dare they accuse us of something like that?
I absolutely agree. It's petty, spiteful, and vindictive. Possibly it's also transference, and maybe paranoia.
This is how you categorize your clients?
Legally, he has to work in their best interest. He doesn't have to actually like them.
Well, they're not my favorite people right now, either.
Which brings me to the purpose of my coming here today. I would like to offer you $500 to walk around your house for 15 minutes, escorted by Officer Thompson and yourselves. I can then tell my clients that I am 100% certain the missing cat is not here.
How dare you?
Why on earth would we agree to this? We've done nothing wrong, and you don't have a search warrant.
I do not. What I have is an expense account. The $500 is not coming from me. It's going to be paid by my clients. My petty, spiteful, vindictive, and paranoid clients, whom you do not like.
$1,000.
$2,000.
The paperwork they sign doesn't give me authorization for more than $500 without getting it approved by my clients. I guarantee they won't approve that since they don't actually know I'm even here. This is the best I can do. But it is a way for karma to rear its head without you having to do much of anything.
If I were in your shoes, I would take the money. And I don't even know these people to dislike them.
15 minutes?
I'll do my best to make it less. Surprise, surprise. There was no Pepe in the house. Only Gigi, who was even uglier than Fifi. But if somebody wants to own something ugly because it's rare, well, who am I to judge? That's basically my opinion of modern art as well, by the way. The good news was, I had proof positive where Pepe wasn't. Sadly, that was exactly the opposite of what I was supposed to be finding out. This was not the most ideal set of circumstances. The next obvious step was to start calling animal shelters, which I did. It was tedious and not especially helpful. I then called the Kensington's neighbors, only to find out that they were tedious and not especially helpful. These were the easiest options on a search for a lost pet. And I was just about to go to the next easiest options when I became aware of a gentle tapping. If you're a fan of Edgar Allan Poe, you know that never ends well.
Hi, Jack.
Whoa, Ethel. Did you make an investment in a bandage company or something?
It's not that many bandages.
If you were in a sarcophagus, maybe.
The cat just doesn't like me.
Uh-huh. Low-hanging fruit on the insult tree notwithstanding. What's wrong?
What do you mean?
You knocked before entering, and you haven't insulted me in almost 30 seconds.
Okay, smart guy. You're right. We have a problem. You see, after I put on the bandages, I was feeling a little sleepy.
Because of the severe blood loss?
Maybe from the wine I drank.
The wine you drank after the severe blood loss.
Nitpick, nitpick. Anyway, when I woke up...
Please don't say it.
The cat was gone.
Ah, jeez. Look, Ethel, I'll do my best, but they were paying you to watch the cat. If I can't find it, you're going to have to pay them damages, and it won't come cheap.
Yeah, I know. I might have to do something drastic, like evicting you and getting a renter who actually pays regularly.
I am impressed, Ethel. You turned your screw-up into my problem. That takes real skill. So in the space of 5 minutes, my landlady had doubled my workload. Looking back on the whole situation, I realized the problem was that I had not been listening to my instincts. First, I hadn't really wanted to help the Kensingtons out after they threw the hissy fit they threw, just because I didn't recognize their cat was a cat. But then, it took so long to figure out what they wanted in the first place that I kind of felt invested in the whole deal. Then Ethel showed up with her no pets mantra, and a way to weasel out of a job I didn't want to do in the first place was gift-wrapped and dropped into my lap. But no! I had to go and appeal to Ethel's greed and get her to do a job she would eventually, and inevitably, screw up. If I'm honest with myself, the only reason I did any of this was because being contrary to what Ethel wants is my default setting. So with time running out and two different naked-tailed cats to find, I decided that whatever my instincts told me, I'd start listening for a change. I admit that the course of action suggested to me was one of the biggest long shots in the history of long shots. I nevertheless picked up the phone again, dialed the number, and asked the stupid question. Now, did it work? See for yourself.
Look, I'm not upset if I'm honest. The cat was my ex-wife's. I have no interest in going to cat shows or anything of the kind. And as for Pepe, he's a cranky old so-and-so, and I don't like him any more than he likes me. On the other hand, he's a valuable animal. Stud services alone are paying off my alimony for the year. So if your detective can't find him pretty soon...
He will. He certainly will, once you, Mr. McCoy.
There was a break in the case, and I'd normally be pretty confident. However, the way things have been going, I'm not willing to get my hopes up.
I can't believe you lost our Fifi.
Oh, don't worry, dear. She's gonna be just fine.
You really think Mr. McCoy will find her?
No, but your cat's a fighter. I'm pretty sure nothing short of a grizzly bear could hurt her.
I'm due at the Hamiltons in about 20 minutes. If we can't get this resolved in the next few minutes, I'm afraid we're going to have to start discussing reimbursement. They're not going to be happy with me, and probably even less so with you.
You are not wrong, Mr. Campbell. I'm hoping that another few minutes is all it'll take. Now, Mr. Kensington, I'm going to need the cash for the additional expenses we talked about.
You'll get that when it works.
That's not how this goes at all. Works or doesn't work, you're going to have to pay these expenses. It's not how these people usually do business, and it was the only possible way to get them here in time. Not getting my hopes up. It's probably the Grim Reaper.
Hi, we got a call?
Are we in the right place?
You're in the right place. I'm hoping you've got the right merchandise.
Hey, we're getting paid either way. That was the deal.
You're not wrong. My client is now going to give you the agreed-upon fee.
Can we be sure they have the cats first?
No, but if you like, we can get back in our van and head down to deal with a rabid raccoon the way our boss already thinks we are. We're not supposed to make side trips.
Rabid raccoon? Aren't you from a cat shelter?
Who told you that?
Yeah, we're animal control.
Do you remember how annoyed you were when I asked if you had a possum for a pet? Well, I'm clearly not the only person to make that mistake, because these two have picked up a few possums today. And when I spoke to them on the phone and asked if they had any possums that went meow, they had an answer which made me feel pretty darn justified.
No offense, but these are some really ugly cats.
It's a rare breed.
It's a rare breed of ugly.
Mr. Kensington, the money, please. Thank you. Now, ladies, the felines in question, assuming we have the right species.
Here you go.
That's Pepe. I'd recognize that annoying little pest anywhere.
Oh, Fifi, darling.
Come on, we need to get going.
Sure, just one second. Ma'am, you don't look so well. Are those bandages from a cat scratch?
Oh, I'm fine, dearie. You three nice animal control people, just run along now.
There are two of us?
Ma'am, you know the song Cat Scratch Fever?
Yes?
You know it's not just a song, right?
And so, once again, though we thought he was a goner, the cat came back. And while the cat may have gotten out of the bag, at least our hero wasn't left holding it. Is the work of a private eye too dangerous for someone without nine lives? And will Ethel take her full course of antibiotics? Find out next time on another episode of Jack McCoy, Private Eye.
You've been listening to Jack McCoy, Private Eye. Puss in Boots Are Made for Walking, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Jack was Rick Tennant. The announcer was Andrew Dell. Mr. Kensington was Adam Gastenke. Mrs. Kensington was Liz Music. Ethel was Jill Wenzel. Georgia was Andy Gastenke. Francis was Aaron Manka-White. Officer Thompson was Dana Bonner Andreessen. Donald Campbell was Ray Greenlee. And the animal control workers were Brianna Kuby and Rebecca Scheimer. Fast Talking by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Other music and sound effects by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you later.